Well, John Patton was a missionary to the New Hebrides in the South Pacific. He sailed there in 1858 with his wife Mary, who was pregnant at the time. And they settled on the island of Tanna, which was full of cannibals. 3 months after their arrival, their son Peter was born, but just 19 days later, his wife died from tropical fever, soon to be followed to the grave by his newborn son Peter, who died at only 36 days of age. John Patton buried his wife and child together, close to their home in Resolution Bay. And sadly, he had to spend his nights sleeping on their grave to protect them from the cannibals. Enduring many years of deprivation, danger from disease and from the native people, he continued with the work. And after many years of patient ministry, the entire island of Aniwa professed Christianity. In 1899, John saw his Aniwa New Testament printed and the establishment of missionaries on 25 of the 30 islands of the New Hebrides. Today it's called Vanuatu, in the South Pacific. Where did John get this kind of fortitude or passion or assurance and hope, first to even go to an island full of cannibals, and then even to stay there in the midst of those kinds of difficulties? When even people in his own church discouraged him to not go, or encouraged him not to go. Listen to his account of the situation before he even went. He says this, "Amongst many who sought to deter me was one dear old Christian gentleman whose crowning argument always was, 'The cannibals! You will be eaten by cannibals!' At last I replied, 'Mr. Dixon, you are advanced in years now, and your own prospect is soon to be laid in the grave, there to be eaten by worms. I confess to you that if I can but live and die serving and honoring the Lord Jesus, it will make no difference to me whether I am eaten by cannibals or by worms. And in the great day, my resurrection body will arise as fair as yours in the likeness of our risen Redeemer.'" Where does this confidence and assurance come from? Well, John Patton's confidence and assurance was in the resurrected Jesus Christ and in the hope of his own resurrection someday. And that's our hope. Let's pray together. Lord, I pray that by your grace, your people might hear a better sermon than the one I have prepared. And by the power of the Holy Spirit, you might use your word to encourage your church. Pray in Christ's name. Amen. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit of life has set you free from in Christ Jesus from the law of sin and death. For God has done what the law, weakened by the flesh, could not do. By sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, He condemns sin in the flesh, in order that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit set their minds on the things of the Spirit. For to set the mind on the flesh is death, but to set the mind on the Spirit is life and peace. For the mind that is set on the flesh is hostile to God, for it does not submit to God's law. Indeed, it cannot. Those who are in the flesh cannot please God. You, however, are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if in fact the Spirit of God dwells in you. Anyone who does not have the Spirit of Christ does not belong to Him. But if Christ is in you, although the body is dead because of sin, the Spirit is life because of righteousness. If the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, He who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through His Spirit who dwells in you. So then, brothers, we are debtors, not to the flesh, to live according to the flesh. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For all who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. For you did not receive the spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption as sons, by whom we cry, Abba, Father. Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God, and if children, then heirs, heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ, provided that we suffer with Him in order that we may also be glorified with Him. For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing with the glory that is to be revealed to us. For the creation waits with eager longing for the revealing of the sons of God. For the creation was subjected to futility, not willingly, but because of Him who subjected it, in hope that the creation itself will be set free from its bondage to corruption and obtain the freedom of the glory of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation has been groaning together in the pains of childbirth until now. And not only the creation, but we ourselves, who have the first fruits of the Spirit, groan inwardly as we wait eagerly for adoption as sons, the redemption of our bodies. For in this hope we are saved. Now hope that is seen is not hope, for who hopes for what he sees? But if we hope for what we do not see, we wait for it with patience. Likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weakness, for we do not know what to pray for as we ought. But the Spirit Himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. And He who searches hearts knows what is the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints according to the Word of God, the will of God, sorry. And we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good, for those who are called according to His purpose. For those whom He foreknew, He also predestined to be conformed to the image of His Son, in order that He might be the firstborn among many brothers. And those whom He predestined, He also called. And those whom He called, He also justified. And those whom He justified, He also glorified. And what then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare His own Son, but gave Him up for us all, how will He not also with Him graciously give us all things? Who shall bring any charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is to condemn? Christ Jesus is the one who died, more than that, who was raised, who is at the right hand of God, who indeed is interceding for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? As it is written, for your sake we are being killed all the day long. We are regarded as sheep to be slaughtered. No. In all these things we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. For I am sure that neither death nor life nor angels nor rulers nor things present nor things to come nor powers nor height nor depth nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Well, we've been studying the book of Romans. Thank you for letting me obey the scripture, which is Paul to Timothy, devote yourself to the public reading of Scripture. But we've been looking in Romans 8, and everything that we have seen is telling us that what we believe and what we hope for, we see in Romans 8, is due to Jesus being alive. If He isn't alive, we have zero assurance. We have no assurance of our salvation. We have no assurance of future glory. And we have no assurance that our present suffering is worth it at all. But Jesus is alive. And because He is alive, everything we see in Romans chapter 8 is true for us. The main idea I want us to see as I'm really preaching Romans 8 today, and the assurance of the resurrection. Here's the main idea, that all the assurance that we have is due to the risen Christ. We looked in Romans chapter 8, verses 1 to 17, we saw the assurance of salvation. In verses 18 to 30, we looked at the assurance of future glory. In verses 31 and following is the assurance in suffering. So I want to walk through and just show us how much the risen Christ, how much our faith, our assurance hinges on the risen Christ. So number one, assurance of salvation. Verses 1 to 17. Verse 1 says, There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. What an assurance we have that our sins are washed away today, if you're a Christian, that we're not condemned. And yet, if Christ is not risen, we have no reason to believe that we are free from condemnation. Notice it says here that there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. But yet, we're not in Christ Jesus. We're not in Christ Jesus if Jesus is not alive. We don't belong to Him if He is not alive. Jesus must be alive for us to not be condemned. If we look on down in chapter 8 in the following verses, in verse 9 it says, "You, however, are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if in fact the Spirit of God dwells in you. Anyone who does not have the Spirit of God does not belong to Him. But if Christ is in you, although the body is dead because of sin, the Spirit is life because of righteousness. If the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, He who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through His Spirit who dwells in you." How did we get the Holy Spirit? We got the Holy Spirit because Jesus sent the Holy Spirit. So we have no Holy Spirit to indwell us. We have no empowering of the Holy Spirit, no new birth, because Jesus is the one who sent the Holy Spirit to us. If Christ is dead, there's no Holy Spirit for believers. Jesus said, "I'm going away, and I'm going to send another Comforter for you." But praise be to God that we have the Holy Spirit in us, who indwells us, who gives life to our mortal bodies. This actually means that He gives life, spiritual life to us. He changes us and sanctifies us. But not only that, He will also give life to our mortal bodies when we die. Just as John Patton said, it doesn't matter what might happen to us, we will rise again with Christ. But if Jesus is dead, there's no hope of the Holy Spirit doing any work in our life. There's no putting to death the deeds of the body by the Spirit. There's no adoption as sons and daughters in verse 15. There's no being children of God in verse 16. There's no being heirs of the kingdom because there is no kingdom. Because there's no king. If Jesus is not alive, there's no being fellow heirs, it says in verse 17, with Christ, because the heir himself is not alive. Oh, but He is alive. He is not dead. If he's dead, there's no reason for us to be here today, right? So the assurance in verses 1 to 17, the assurance of our salvation hangs on the resurrection of Jesus Christ. We not only have assurance of salvation, but we have assurance of future glory. That's in verses 18 to 30. Assurance of future glory. Verse 18 says, I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing with the glory that is to be revealed to us. For the creation waits with eager longing for the revealing of the sons of God. What glory can we compare our suffering with? We compare it with the glory of our resurrection, right? Our glorification. Well, of course, that depends on Christ. He says in verses 18 to 30, he says that we have the first fruits of the Spirit. And later he says that Jesus is the firstborn among many brothers. You know, the first fruits is when you taste the first one and then you say, well, the rest of them are going to be like this. Just as Christ is risen, our hope is also in His resurrection. If He's dead, He has no power to raise us from the grave. Verse 23, not only the creation, but we ourselves who have the first fruits of the Spirit groan inwardly as we wait eagerly for adoption as sons, a redemption of our bodies. For in this hope we are saved. Now hope that is seen is not hope, for who hopes for what he sees? But if we hope for what we do not see, we wait for it with patience. What do we hope for? What is all of our hope in today? Our hope is all dependent on Jesus being alive. Verse 29, he says, for those whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, in order that he might be the firstborn among many brothers. Now, none of us wants to be conformed to the dead man, Jesus. Instead, our hope is to be conformed to the risen Christ and to be changed to be like the living Christ. So praise be to God that through Jesus Christ, our Lord, we have real assurance of salvation, no condemnation, assurance of the Holy Spirit making us new, assurance of future glory because of one reason, because Jesus is alive. We not only have assurance of salvation, assurance of future glory, but we also have assurance in suffering that our suffering is not wasted. Verses 31 to 39. James preached on this last week. What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son but gave us up for us all, how will he not also with him graciously give us all things? Notice that it says he will graciously give us all things. But two words are key here, with Him. He graciously gives us all things with Christ. If there's no risen Christ, there's no reward in this life, because you realize as redeemed sinners and as adopted children, we only have the blessings because the blessings come to Christ. The blessings come to us as adopted children through the natural heir, God the Son. Because we believe in Him and we are in Him, then we have all these blessings. But really, the blessings are Christ who shares them with us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? No, in all these things we're more than conquerors through Him who loved us. For I'm sure that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Now, how can we have that kind of assurance in suffering. How can John Patton or us, how can we know and believe that we can go to an island of cannibals and have assurance that we're not wasting our entire lives? Because Christ is alive. Who is to condemn? Verse 34, Christ is the one who died. More than that, who was raised? Who is at the right hand of God? Who is indeed interceding for us? Ladies and gentlemen, do you believe Jesus is alive? I was just thinking about this yesterday. I oddly had a situation where I was appreciative of Christ being alive. It was because of my sin. Yesterday, lost my temper with my son. In that moment, feeling guilt and shame, feeling bad for the way that I acted. And in that moment, was reminded, you know, I have no hope. I have no hope unless I believe that Christ died for my sins according to Scripture. And I believe that He can change me, and I believe that He is coming again and will make all things new. Our only hope in our sin is Christ, the risen Christ. The Bible says that He died for sinners, rose on the third day, ascended into heaven. He is alive. He's at the right hand of God the Father. He's interceding for us. And He's coming back to judge the world. That's the gospel. Today, on this day, this Resurrection Sunday, I plead with you, if you're not a Christian, that you surrender to Jesus. You surrender yourself to Jesus Christ. It's your only hope. It's the only hope for any of us. If we do not believe in Jesus and trust that He was condemned for us on the cross and that He rose from the dead, then we will be condemned by Christ. But the good news of the Bible is that we don't have to be. The Bible tells us in Romans 10:9, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and you believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. Just this past week, a man asked me, how can I be saved? There's a lot of things went through my mind, but I was reminded and challenged him, do you believe Jesus Christ is risen from the dead? If you don't believe that today, I encourage you to confess with your mouth that Jesus is who He said He is. Confess with your mouth that you're a sinner and He's the only Savior. Believe in your heart that He is alive and God did raise Him from the dead. You'll be saved. Christian, how blessed you are. Even as we take the Lord's Supper in a moment, I pray that you will experience just how blessed you are. That we have assurance of salvation. Our assurance doesn't come from our good works. Our assurance doesn't come from the fact that we're doing everything perfectly all the time, because we all mess up. Our assurance is in Christ atoning for our sins and Christ rising from the dead. We have assurance of future glory, that one day we will be changed into His likeness because Jesus is alive. And we have assurance in suffering that no matter what we might go through in this life, that it is not wasted. And no matter how much suffering we go through, it will not separate us from the risen Christ, because Jesus is alive. Amen. Let's pray together. Lord, I have no hope except that I believe that Christ died for my sins according to the Scriptures. That I believe that Christ is risen from the dead. So on that confession, it's on that hope that I expect to swing out into eternity someday, whether I'm eaten by worms or by cannibals. Thank you, God, that in your word you give us assurance. Assurance that our lives, that we have salvation, that we have a future hope and a glory to look forward to, and that any suffering in this life we face is not going to separate us from you. Thank you, Lord, that our best days are ahead of us in Christ. It's in His name we pray. Amen.